This delightful track is Carnivorous Plant Society with Busy Garden. You've probably heard it on Heavy Rotate here on 95BFM. And they've just shared their latest EP. It's called I Am Always Listening. This one was one of the first singles of that release. And we're very lucky to be joined by Finn Scholes on the line. Morena.
Hi, Scholes, sorry,
Scholes,
by the way.
Sorry. Oh, goodness.
I should have seen that coming. No, it's never not happened. It's never...
Never not it's, happened. Yeah. Was it 100% wrong accuracy?
Pretty much 100%, yeah, 100%
wow.
Accuracy.
Oh,
I'm going to change the spelling of our family name. K, maybe.
Change it by Depot, eh?
Yeah. Scholes. Yeah, no, Scholes.
Scholes,
yeah.
Apologies. Okay. Thank you for joining us for a kōrero this morning.
Thank you
morning.
For having me. It's an honour.
Ah. We're stoked to have you, and the EP is so beautiful. We've already had texts from people coming in telling us how much they love it. Somebody said that they love the song, and the start of it always makes them feel like they're Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Wow.
It's a good way to feel.
That make it all worth it.
Yeah.
That's why we do it.
Beautiful stuff. I want to dive in and talk a little bit about the EP itself. I Am Always Listening. I feel like if people weren't familiar with Carnivorous Plant Society, they'd think that's a slightly ominous sort of title for a project. But the whole point of Carnivorous Plant Society is it's very joyful music, eh?
Oh, I wouldn't say that. We get pretty dark too. We got a little bit, you know. We got a few. We quite like tunes about the apocalypse, for instance.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Love me a good apocalypse song. And yeah, we get a bit dark, yeah. But joyful, yeah. I mean, yeah, quite a bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Some of it is, yeah. Quite a bit of it is happy, yeah. We like our major keys.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So where does that title, I Am Always Listening, come from for you?
Well, it came to me while I was on a boat trip with my friend Nick Atkinson, and we were jamming on the... We often jam when we're on his boat. He's a saxophone player, and I brought my trumpet, and we were up on deck jamming. And he actually started to get a little bit seasick, which is very rare for him. But it was due to sort of various conditions. But while I was playing the trumpet on the deck, just kind of waiting for him to feel a bit better, I just was kind of wondering about, like, what's the point in all of this music one would make when it's for no one, you know, like, and then I just kind of thought about, like, that maybe there is a reason why we play music when no one's listening.
Mm.
And I don't know, I was just trying to, like, answer that question with some sort of, like, creature responding to me, telling me that it's listening.
That's quite beautiful.
Does that make sense? Did I tell that right?
Totally, and I think it's something that a lot of creatives are pondering a lot at the moment. You know, when you release something digitally, sometimes it feels like throwing it out into the void a little bit. But
oh yeah, absolutely.
Making sense of that in terms of why you do it and why you release and share new music with people is a big topic of discussion at the moment.
Yeah, my favorite part of it's just like I really like making it.
Mm.
I really like the beginning of writing down a piece and getting the band to play it in the beginning, and then. Yeah, the release part I often find quite, I'm not so into it because quite often it's a little bit like, yeah, like less people listen to, especially when you initially put it out there, you do your big Facebook post that you've been stressing about writing and but then it's kind of like 3 likes because no one sees it or something. And but, you know, yeah, there is a reason, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And on the making of it, you know, you guys have been making music as a band for a little while now, and there's a few projects that have come out, and you've been playing these amazing live shows. If anyone hasn't seen Carnivorous Plant Society live, you need to rectify that because it's a special experience. But tell us a little bit about, you know, for this EP, what the process of making those songs was like. Did they start as sort of quite loose jams, or is it you sort of composing a lot of it and then bringing it to the rest of the band?
Yeah, you know, these ones were actually, this was kind of actually made on lockdown, believe it or not, these
wow.
ones.
Wow.
And, well, yeah, and so they were kind of, but this was the first time I've ever done it, just making them on Logic, just on the computer. And I would write a piece at the piano and, like, make a big piece of paper. That is the piece. But these ones, oh, apart from Down the Misty Hill, but yeah, the rest of them were kind of written just by starting, like how I think a lot of people write music like this. They'll get a sound on a computer and like build the piece just from things that they like, you know, like building it up like that, and rather than planning it before they do any recording.
Mm.
But Down the Misty Hill was, that was one of my piano written pieces, but it was like I always have on my piano a book of sheet music, just empty, what is it called, lines, whatever it is. And the Down the Misty Hill, I found it like, it had been written like really long ago, this like really old piece that was in the back of the book somewhere, and I often quite liked it, but I never really thought it would have been good with a band. But then I was like, oh, maybe we'll try this. And then it turned out to be one of our biggest hits yet.
Yeah, that's one that is often sort of closing out your sets live, eh?
Yeah, it may not be. Maybe using the biggest hit yet is a bit of a... But yeah, we really enjoy playing it.
I did see on a Instagram caption somewhere that it's the... You're putting it forward as the potential new national anthem.
Yeah, well... We've realised that one skill I have is writing trumpet power ballads.
Yeah. What a skill to have. That must look really good on the resume.
Yeah, it's got to, someone's got to do it, and that's me. Yeah. New Zealand's trumpet power ballad king.
A new national anthem.
There's always got to be one. Back to the boat. Did you think at that time, were there like seabirds about or anything like that? Maybe the fish were listening.
Yeah, well, something was, yeah. And it told me. It told me in my mind, man.
Maybe it was the wind.
Yeah.
Wow. Spiritual. I want to talk about the visuals a little bit as well, because you've done these amazing animation pieces.
Yeah, we go hard on the visuals, yeah. Our whole show, when we perform now, we have a projector, and each tune has a little animation now. And... a lot of them are kind of just like buzzy shapes and things. And then some of them tell stories, and quite a lot of sort of science fiction in there. And a bit of apocalyptic themes, of course.
Mm.
And I just kind of found myself drawn to animating. And I used to do them just all on little bits of A4, bits of paper, and just draw on a big stack of them and then photocopy them all and then painfully colour each individual one of them, which took forever. But since then I've learned how to use the technology a little bit better, and I've bought myself a little Wacom tablet and got a proper animating program, so I can do it a bit more efficiently now.
That's awesome.
Like a pro, but not really like a pro. It's still pretty... Yeah, I've got my own way of doing it.
Mm. It definitely feels as though the visuals have been... like as involved as the sonic sort of like world building of it all. Like there's a world of carnivorous plant society.
Yeah, but we just really love performing with it, you know. It really adds to the show so much, and quite often we'll kind of keep an eye on the videos while we play and sort of react to them musically as they go on. And it's just really nice. A lot of theatres, they have huge screens too, so giant projectors and stuff, so you just plug into that and then it seems like a really good thing.
Cool. Speaking of the live shows, have we got more in the works that people can look forward to?
Yeah, we have tons this month. This month we're playing almost every day.
No way.
Sorry, not this month. We're going, what is it, 21 dates or something? I had them all here. We're doing this tour, it's Arts on Tour, which is like a government-funded tour that bring us out to the provinces. So yeah, Coromandel on July the 1st, Pohangia on the 2nd, Kaikoura on the 5th, Lincoln on the 6th, Akaroa on the 8th. I mean, yeah, it goes on and on and on. We're going to be mainly in the South Island, playing at Musselin, Picton, Queenstown, Okarito, Hokitika, Mapua, Upper Hutt, New Plymouth, Tianao, Stewart Island, Gore.
Wow.
Geraldine. Yeah, we'll finish it off on the 29th of August at Whammy Bar.
Awesome. Mark the calendars, everyone.
Yeah.
It's a long...
It'll be so tight. We're going to be so tight by then, it's going to be boring.
That's a long way to get to Whammy Bar, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
The scenic route.
Yeah.
Oh, really wonderful.
That's awesome.
I can't wait, eh? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it will just put all the gear in a van and not have anything else to think about.
Mm. Yeah, because you guys do have quite a... well, last time I saw you, there was quite a rig of instruments. You did bring out the tuba at one point. Is that going with you on the whole tour?
I'm excited about the tuba because it is... It doesn't actually have a... Oh, it does have a case, but the case makes it twice as big. So it's really... when I do travel with it, usually I don't take the case. So it always gets a ding or two more. But that's not really the issue because it's covered in dings already. But it's... Well, yes, on this tour, like, you got to keep the morale up, because it's so long. And if the setup will be a mission every time because we already have a vibraphone and two keyboards and, like, we're going to have to take the PA and drum kit, bass.
Wow.
And all my other little flutes and various things. And, but I'm thinking I'm keen to take it because every time I bust it out, people love it, eh? They actually usually kind of like laugh a little bit when they play the tuba. They think it's funny.
It is a little bit funny, isn't it? Or is it extremely serious business?
Is it? Well, I don't know. You know, what do the tuba players out there think about that? Do they think it's funny?
Tuba players,
if you're listening, can you text us 5395?
Tuba's funny.
Are they funny?
Are they funny? Yeah. Well, you know, it's actually a very serious instrument, the tuba, even though people like to laugh at it.
I can imagine it's quite a challenge to play.
It is actually really hard. When I first bought it, I saw it for $1,000 in an antique shop, and I noticed it didn't have any holes in it or anything, and $1,000 is actually really, really cheap for a tuba.
Mm.
And I picked it up, and I couldn't play it at all, and I was wondering, it was really munted looking, like covered in dins, and I was like... wondering whether it was broken, but I just kind of got it in case maybe it was me that wasn't able to play it. And because I play the trumpet, it's got a similar mouthpiece, you know, but it's just like five times as big and it has the same fingering as the trumpet. So I was off to a good start, but I couldn't blow it at all. But I just started to blow it and every day just give it a go. And now I can safely say that I can play the tuba.
Awesome.
I'm actually in an umpah band at the moment, which does heaps of tuba playing for me all through October. We play almost every weekend at October festivals. You know umpah music?
Yeah. I'm familiar.
Yeah. Big,
that's a good
big
time.
Big on the BFM. Big on BFM umpah. Yeah.
It's gone triple platinum.
Is that like your party adjacent or?
Yeah, okay, very, right. Very much so. Like very kind of up and down.
Yeah, nice.
I'm trying to do the
tiring
dance move.
Tiring breath control as a
it's
tuba.
It's really
player.
Tiring. Yeah, it's actually kind of excruciating in a way. Like everything about playing the tuba for the whole time is really painful. Like your face gets really sore, but also just the tuba on you kind of gets sore. Like it will.
It's a big,
like it's quite cold, you know. And sometimes I even get like a bruise on my leg from it lying there. And but by the end of the umpah season, all my tuba muscles get really strong, and then I'm kind of good at it.
Okay, well, I take it all back. It's not funny at all. It sounds like
it's not funny.
Very serious business.
We're sick of everyone laughing at it.
Incredibly serious.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Vince Goals, for joining us for a chat this morning. Congratulations on your EP release. And best of luck with the Mammoth Tour.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Awesome. We're going to end with Down the Misty Hill, which is the closing track, and the new national anthem, apparently.